If you have or if you have a loved one who has type 1 diabetes, you're going to want to listen to this conversation with Shonda and Brad Leas. Nice to have you here.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Talking about the JDRF1 walk, actually several walks that are going to be occurring in October 9th at Levi's Stadium here in Santa Clara will be one walk for us in the South Bay. And up in San Ramon, September 25th at Bishop Ranch, I've done some stuff there. That's a beautiful place to do a walk or even a ride or a run. And later in October, the 23rd at Great Meadow at Fort Mason in San Francisco. At October 30th in Pacific Grove at Lover's Point. So if you live south of here, you can try the Pacific Grove one. If you live towards San Francisco, there you go. East Bay, San Ramon, in Santa Clara at the beautiful Levi's Stadium. So great to have you here, and so much fun to talk about something like this, because I love it when people get involved, you know, walk for something they care about. And it's something I care about, as you well know. I have a son who is a type 1 diabetic. Tell us your story.
Thanks, Sam. And again, thank you very much for sharing your story off the air. Shonda and I got involved about 4.5 years ago with JDRF when our daughter Kendall was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes 2 days after her second birthday. And ever since Shonda and I got headfirst with JDRF and volunteering, we had our first walk actually at Fort Mason in San Francisco back in 2012, and we haven't looked back since.
This will be our fifth walk coming up here at the end of September. And one thing that we feel really good about is we really love how the JDRF chapter has such amazing outreach. So they'll meet you in the hospital at times. There's bags of hope to help families and individuals who've been diagnosed get assimilated to the disease and understand how to care for themselves. And then, of course, there's amazing fundraising opportunities through the walk and other events around the Bay Area.
Yeah, to help support all the good things they
yes.
do. That's an important thing, but more importantly is, how's Kendall?
Oh, she's great. So obviously heartbreaking to have her be diagnosed so young, but one of the advantages we have is that we can raise her in a way where, I mean, she's not different. She can do anything, and she can. Mm. The technology and advancements for type 1 have been amazing. And so, you know, she doesn't know a life before type 1 diabetes. So we've been fortunate in that we've been able to raise her in a way that she really, you know, doesn't see herself any different than anybody else. She might wear an insulin pump and gear on her arms and legs, but she doesn't let that stop her.
She does wear the gear and stuff, huh?
Absolutely.
You know, at the age of 2, you're right. Her cognizance is built around the fact that she's diabetic, but that had to be a surprise for you. That's an awfully young age to be dealing with diabetes in a child, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. When you're diagnosed so young, and it's such a volatile disease, but even more so when you're that age and trying to manage that disease when she can't communicate to you how she's feeling or what her blood sugars are, was a real challenge, even more distinct than when you become an older child or into adulthood. So a real challenge for Shonda and I to manage. But as Shonda had mentioned, with Kendall, we have taught her, we've educated her, we've given her the confidence and the courage to own her diabetes. And now she's come to the point where she's checking her own blood sugar. She's communicating to us how she feels. And we've feel really good about how she feels with her diabetes.
They always say parenting doesn't come with a manual. You don't get a guidebook, you know, and that's so true. In your case, you're fortunate in a way because this part of the parenting does come with a guidebook, and it comes with a lot of support from JDRF, doesn't it?
That's right. As Shonda had mentioned, we were blessed when we were in the hospital. We were at Children's Hospital in Oakland back in April 2012 when Kendall was diagnosed, and one of the first organizations to reach out to us was JDRF with their bag of hope. Tons of resources and people to contact to give advice and assistance to how to manage this disease once you leave the hospital.
Yeah, in fact, it's interesting you bring that up. So I often compare it to when you become pregnant, you have 9 months at least to learn all about how to care for a baby. And even if you did nothing, common sense would prevail. And then individuals and families get diagnosed with type 1. They get a quick tutorial in the hospital and they go on their way for what's a life ahead to manage a very crazy, volatile disease. So to have JDRF was incredible for us. And then one other aspect that we have is a mentor program. So we're actually able to help pair people up with mentors who volunteer on behalf of JDRF to help the newly diagnosed. So whether it's a brand new family, an adult, anything in between, JDRF, just in terms of the outreach, has been incredible to help these people during a tough time.
I've got to know, what's in the JDRF bag of hope?
Oh, great question. So the one that would be given for like teen and under, many resources. So how to take type 1 to school. You get all sorts of meters and different types of technology that some of the pharmaceutical companies have donated to be part of the kits. You can kind of learn about pumps and continuous glucose monitors and a number of things like that. But I think one of the most memorable things in this bag of hope is a teddy bear called Rufus. And he wears a little JDRF shirt and he's got little patches all over his body, which is the place where most of the kids need to also get their insulin injections. So whether it's their thigh, the back of their bottom, back of their arm, and these kids like begin to love Rufus because they see, you know, that he can take these insulin shots. And I want my patch, I want my shot where Rufus's blue patches and things like that. And then there's a little book to go with it, and it's incredible. And then there's an adult type 1 kit as well that has much more age appropriate, not the teddy bear, but other age appropriate resources, which are just incredible for people going through that big transition.
Terrific for you as parents. But how about Kendall herself? You know, and she's got this bag of hope. She's got a lot of help from her parents, which is a wonderful thing. And I saw a video of her from last year at the JDRF walk that you did. And she's such a cutie pie.
Thank you.
You know, but she's facing challenges now, isn't she? Because she's facing peer groups and so forth. How do you help her there?
Again, Sam, thanks. We continue to make diabetes, it's a part of her life, and that's a fact, it's part of her life, but it's not what defines her. And we just go about it as a normal course of a business during the day. We don't try to make a big deal out of checking her blood sugar or giving her insulin for the food that she eats. We come prepared at all birthday parties and lunches at school with food that has been counted so that we know how much insulin to give to her, and just make it more of a matter of fact type of thing for Kendall. And her friends respond to it. Right now, we're just super blessed in the area, in the community that we live in, with the parents and the community who have in turn educated on type 1 diabetes. We, in fact, send a letter to her entire school and an even more detailed letter into her classroom, just explaining to the parents, if your child has any questions around this, here's how to explain and educate your child on type 1 diabetes. And again, we just make it a part of her normal course of business for Kendall.
I think a lot of parents can maybe try to hide it, or I'm going to take my child to the you know, behind this corner to check right. their blood sugar. And, sure. you know, I think even just last week at soccer practice, we suspected Kendall was going low and we needed to go out on the field and check her blood sugar. All of her little first grade friends crowded around. And like Brad said, were very matter of fact. Yes, you see blood. No, it doesn't hurt her. She's very brave. You know, we just answer their questions. And I think that disarms the situation, and then it also makes them not kind of isolate Kendall, that maybe she's different or something's wrong. Like, we're very matter of fact yeah. about it, which I think helps Kendall too.
That is a tricky thing, isn't it?
Yes.
So I've mentioned earlier, before we began the conversation, I'm the father of a diabetic, and my son is an adult with children of his own now. And when he was diagnosed, there were certain things you did, and they were fairly, I would say, by today's standards, primitive. So what are today's standards? What's new in the field of diabetes research that's been helped by JDRF?
Right. Right now, Kendall has two different devices on her. One's called a continuous glucose monitor, which attaches to her and continuously checks her blood sugar. It's not 100% accurate, but it's pretty darn close, and it gives us good direction as to where she is each and every day. The second is a pump. She has an insulin pump that is attached to her at all times that continuously gives her insulin at a constant rate, and then it allows for us to give her insulin whenever she eats food. So those are two devices that have been around for a little while that help us better administer and take care of her diabetes. Things down the pipeline that JDRF is directly funding, I think the thing that we're most excited about that is coming down pretty quick is called the artificial pancreas. So those two devices that I just described, they don't talk to one another. You have a blood sugar reading, and then you have a device that provides insulin, but they don't talk with one another. So we have to manually intervene and be able to give blood sugar give insulin based on the blood sugar numbers. With the artificial pancreas that is in the late stages and hopefully going into commercialization here in 2017, they will talk to one another and perform the function that a normal pancreas would do. Not as perfect as a normal functioning pancreas, but pretty darn close without manual intervention.
So a real example of that would be, you know, at 2 in the morning, if we see Kendall's blood sugar go down, thankfully there's the technology that will alarm us, and we can, of course, verify the number with a blood sugar check on her finger. But in the future, this artificial pancreas would know, shut off the pump, don't deliver any more insulin so she doesn't go any lower. And, you know, whether you're living alone or you're the parent of a type 1 child, imagine what that technology is going to do to provide a little bit of air cover and safety for people going through that.
Years ago, you couldn't even imagine Mm-mm. such a thing, let alone carry it out and create such a thing as that. But I guess if they can make cars that don't hit each other now and drive themselves, technology can make a pancreas and get them to talk to one another, the pump and the pancreas.
Yes.
Wow, what a thing. That's an amazing thing. And again, part of the bag of hope. It's not in the mm-hmm. bag, but it's right there. Lots of hope there. So she wears a pump. And does she educate herself or do her parents educate her about what goes on? In other words, so many organizations like JDRF provide tutorials or camps to go to and that sort of thing for kids to learn. Is that Kendall's case?
JDRF right now is focused solely on the research of those breakthrough technologies and therapies to lessen the impact of type 1 diabetes on children. So from the artificial pancreas to a biological cure, we at JDRF fund an all steps to finding a biological cure. We as parents continue to educate her on her diabetes and on her type 1 diabetes. And there are also resources out there like camps and social groups out there that aren't directly affiliated with JDRF, but it's certainly something that JDRF supports in having a more broad view of how a child deals with type 1 diabetes.
I think if you heard her talk and describe her type 1 diabetes, you'd be amazed, like the understanding that even a 6-year-old can have, and even kids younger that we've come across. I mean, they'll talk about that it's an autoimmune disease and that the insulin-making beta cells in her pancreas were destroyed. And I mean, it's unbelievable
that
to hear a 6-year-old describe the science behind a disease like this.
You know, they talk about how important it is to talk to a child in the first 5 years. And it seems to me that this is a blessing in disguise because Kendall's parents, by this reason, had to talk to her a lot more.
Absolutely.
So tell us about the walks. I saw a wonderful video from last year, and you were talking to a group of people, and now we've got 4 walks. Are you going to be part of these?
Yes. Shauna and I and Kendall, we have a team called Team Kendu, which will be walking in San Ramon on September 25th in Bishop Ranch. There are 4 walks total, as you mentioned before. There was one on October 9th in Levi's Stadium, the other one on October 23rd at Fort Mason, and October 30th on Lover's Point in Pacific Grove. And the walk for us, this is going to be our 5th walk, and it is the most inspirational, hopeful, and emotional day for our family of the year, seeing an entire community come together, about 900,000 people total across the country participate in JDRF One Walks to support the lives of those who have type 1 diabetes and to lessen the impact of the disease on those who have type 1 diabetes. And just to look around the field in Fort Mason or around Bishop Ranch, it's so much hope and inspiration, and it is an emotional day for us all.
Who's on the team?
Oh, great question. So, you know, as we said, JDRF was the first organization to come to us after we were diagnosed, and we decided to participate in the walk just 6 months after she was diagnosed. And before that day, we hadn't asked for a dime from our family and friends for anything. And it took a lot to put ourselves out there and say, you know what, we're going to fundraise. We're going to put this team together. And our first year, it was our immediate family and a couple of our best friends, I think about a team of 20, and we were able to raise $12,000.
Wow.
And I remember just behind my sunglasses, like crying, like tears of happy, tears of sad, tears of disbelief that here we are 6 months later, all of the emotions you could imagine. And I remember we were driving home and we said, we will not stop doing this walk until we find a cure. Like, we'll do this every year. So since then, our walk team has continued to grow. I think we're expecting about 60 to 75 people at Bishop Ranch. We all have like matching shirts for Team Spirit. And Kendall would now describe this day as exciting as her birthday or Christmas. Like, she thinks it's her walk. I'm like, well, yeah, and there's about 100 other families that are walking. It's your walk and others. But,
sure.
You know, she does understand what she's doing, what our family's doing for not only her, but all of the people living with type 1 and those who will be diagnosed until there is a cure. So,
that's a lot of love.
Yes.
It sounds great. And we should say, you know, the bags of hope, the artificial pancreas, the research for everything that goes towards finding a cure is funded by these walks. And every year they raise something like $68 million, $70 million.
Oh, yeah. It's a big number. It's one of the largest fundraisers across the country for JDRF. And we would love to have as many people as possible involved. So if you want to get involved, you could go on to walk.jdrf.org. That's walk.jdrf.org. And after a few simple clicks, you'll be able to get on board.
So, Art, we've got a celebration happening. It's going to be a walk on October 9th at Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara. And I mentioned that one because my radio partner, Lisa Kreisler, will be emceeing. She'll do anything to get into that stadium, I think. But your big walk is going to be this coming September 25th, which is just a short time away.
Just around the corner.
Bishop Ranch in San Ramon. And that's not far. That's like 30 miles from here.
Very close.
Yeah, very close. If you want to drive up there, it's a beautiful – I know the Bishop Ranch area. It's a very beautiful area to have such a walk. And maybe you're south of here, down in Pacific Grove, October 30th, right around Halloween time, at Lover's Point in beautiful Pacific Grove. Up in the city, there's no funner place to go than Fort Mason and the walks there along the Presidio and that whole area, the Embarcadero area. And that's October 23rd at the Great Meadow, which is at Fort Mason. So terrific. So many wonderful walks. Again, if we'd like to get involved, maybe just donate if we can't walk and actually can't be there. How do we do that?
Go to walk.jdrf.org.
Okay, once again, that's walk.jdrf.org. Well, Shonda, Brad, thanks for talking to us.
Thank you very much for having us, Sam.
And send our love to Kendall.
Oh, we will. Thank you. She's going to get a kick out of this.
And that's our South Bay Sunday for another week. I hope you have a great week. I'm Sam Van Zandt. See you next week on South Bay Sunday.